He says, you got to have this. That's your love for me. And then you need to demonstrate your love for me this way. Love thy neighbor. Don't covet. All those things and so on and so forth. Then he said this. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to help us this morning. So many things bouncing through my head. People, situations, families, health. Just bouncing through my head, Lord. And so, Lord, I realize that you're in charge of all of that. And we'd ask you this morning, Lord, publicly, that you meet the needs of each and every one of those things. There's people that are not here. My thoughts and mine will be on those folks that are here. My wife's not here. The better part of me, the better half of me is not here. I think of Brother Bill, such an important person in this church, and the loss of his family, and there's been so many. Lord, sometimes if we look around, it just seems the closer we get to the end, the more we lose. If we look around, but we don't, we gain. And so we'd ask you to be Brother Bill this morning and Billy. And Lord, be with us here today. Help us, speak to us. Lord, sometimes just knowing I've been here for 12 years and you sit there and you wonder sometimes, has anything been said made a difference? I preach 3 sermons a week. Teach and train and do other things. Lord, there has to be something that goes past this. Help this morning not just be another sermon, be another message, be another 3 points in a poem that somebody writes down in a notebook and then never gives any more thought to. Captivate our heart, captivate our mind, captivate our soul this morning, Lord. Help us to understand that the Bible is not just words on a piece of paper. It's the very existence of our life. It tells us everything we need, everything we can hope for, and everything that we should desire. So speak to us this morning. Thank you for the fellowship of believers. Thank you for the eternal Word of God, and thank you for the Holy Ghost that dwells within us. Speak to us individually. Captivate us, Lord. Convict us. I plead. If somebody doesn't know you as Savior today, I pray that they'd come fall at your feet and accept everything that you offer them. We plead in Christ's name. Amen. I was listening to a finance podcast the other day. I listened to that Rob West. I think it's really good. It's on WCRF. I guess you can find a sandwich in a trash can. WCRF is just an absolute train wreck of a radio station. But nonetheless, you can find something there every once in a while. And Rob West is on at 4 o'clock. If you don't listen to him at 4 o'clock, you can go to the app and listen to the podcast at a later time of all the programs. But I was listening the other day on my way home, and a statement was made regarding finances. I've been trying to just put as much in as I can possibly get in as we're teaching on finances on Wednesday. And a verse was mentioned. It wasn't necessarily this verse, but it was there was one specific aspect of it. And as is my nature, I looked at the verse myself. And it was there that I was finding my own bit of information. I've said it before, and I reiterate it this morning, and I'm trying to do it more and more in my own life, and that is, in a world that can be so dark, in a world that can be so discouraging, so depressing, you have to look each day and in each moment to find God. You have to. I did something yesterday. I went to just get out of the house, get a bite to eat. Libby was sleeping, and that's another long story. Not with her, but anyways. And I just said, I'm going to run to Streetsboro and just be an introvert for a minute. Is that okay? Miss Patty, is that okay for me to say that? Just be an introvert for a minute. And I went to get something, bite to eat. I didn't want to cook anything, just wanted to get out of the house for a minute. And walked in, and you can't be. You cannot step out. I'll just even go as far as say this, your house, let alone the sanctuary, and not be inundated. Absolutely inundated. It just keeps getting darker. And it can be depressing, and it can be discouraging. I filled up my drink, and I looked at the lady that was next to me. She was probably my age. And I said to her, I said, my goodness, I said, I feel like I'm in a disco joint. They had that, the music. So, and the place I went was Raising Cane's. I should have known better than that anyways. And Raising Cane's, if you've ever been in them, has the stupid John Travolta little balls. You know what I'm saying? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then they got to have those lights on them. And I tell you what, I was about ready to turn my baseball cap sideways, go. And I sat down at my table and I was trying to pray, Ryan, and all you hear in the background is, and I said, man, you can't even find a place to, I mean, I should have just went over there by, what's that place you used to work at, Cody? Over there in Streetsboro, Frost Road, Joseph's. They got that thing where we used to go fishing now. I should have just grabbed my little bag to go and just sat in the freezing cold out there somewhere on a park bench. And I said all that to say this. Watch this now. This world can be dark, discouraging, and depressing. And you have to, I have to, every day. And in every moment, you have to seek to find God. Because he commands us. He commands us, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And I said before, there's all these things that are pulling on us. I preached not too long ago about, was it Jude, or was it scripture? What, keep yourselves. Yeah, Jude said it. Keep yourselves. It's hard to keep yourself somewhere when everything's pulling at you. But watch that. That's no excuse that you can't stay there. Because God would never expect us to stay somewhere that we couldn't keep ourselves there because we're kept by the power of God. So you have to stay close to him. Amen. And so I've been taking my own advice on that lately. I do listen to my own preaching. And I do get mad at myself sometimes. How dare I say that to myself? So don't be the only one that feels that way some days, okay? I've mentioned it recently and I've expressed where I found him. I'm looking for him. I looked for him this morning when I got here. You ought to look for him. You ought to look for him before you ever get here. Because if you don't find him before you get here, you're going to have a struggle finding him when you get here. There isn't one specific verse necessarily that conveys this truth, but this truth is conveyed throughout Scripture. And that is, God is always talking to us. We just have to listen. Let me give you a couple examples of that. He speaks, or he talks to us, obviously, through Scripture. That is why there's such an attack on Scripture nowadays. You used to be able to just go somewhere and get a Bible. You used to be able to have truth everywhere. Now it's hard to find truth. And so you have to look for truth. Well, the best place to find truth is in Scripture. 415 times in the Old Testament, we read this phrase, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. It's a big hobby now with people to question everything that the Bible says. To question the fact of, no, that's not in the Bible. No, because you've created a God in your own image instead of him creating you in his image. How many times as a pastor you can argue, that's not what the Bible says. I co-wrote a book with somebody one time and I said, when we were talking about finances, one of the things, and it was a book for teens and young people, questions. And we both said when we got to finances, both of us had read the Bible, been through college, everything, had years of experience, and we said, a fool and his money are soon parted. And he said, yeah. And we're sitting there trying to figure out where that ain't in the Bible. Now that is the concept's in the Bible, but the verse is not in the Bible. Now the flip side of that is we can convince ourselves that something's in there or God said something that isn't in there. So when I'm listening to the podcast and they make a point, I'm going to look and make sure. That's why we have Bibles in the pew. I was raised in an institution, if you will, that didn't have Bibles in the pew, didn't want you to have a Bible in the pew, because they were the Bible, and they wore the little fish head on their head to make sure that they could be the only ones to interpret the Bible. And somebody's going, what church wears a fish head on their head? I'll let you figure that out on your own. He speaks, talks to us, obviously, through Scripture. The Scriptures are his loudest and clearest voice to us. Secondly, he speaks to us through creation, doesn't he? Or I wrote this down on the side, our solar system. Psalm 19 in verse 1 says this. Now watch this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. You want to see God? Just go outside and look for him. He's easy to be found. You can go anywhere in the society and you will find, I can tell you over there, who made that AC unit. We can probably trace back to who made those bricks and who made the pews and who made the carpet. It's amazing that we can trace back everything that we see to a maker. And then all of a sudden we conclude that we just happened here. Creation speaks to us. I looked and, as a young boy, I looked and talked to, hear me out, I looked and talked to Mother Earth as a little boy navigating a troubled beginning. And I could share many a story that sustained me while viewing creation through the eyes of Mother Earth, all the while not realizing it was Father God speaking to me, not Mother Earth. I'll share this. I'm usually very transparent. 18 Orbed Road, Philadelphia, New York, as a young troubled boy trying to make my way in life, took my shotgun, went out to a pine thicket out in the woods out there. I've seen every piece of nature you could imagine. Coyotes and timber wolves and otters and beavers, and I just sit out there. And in the midst of that pine thicket, as a 13-year-old boy, I said, I'm done. And whispering through those pines, I heard this question. Where are you going to be after you do that? Who was that? It was creation. God in his created beauty that sustained me as a little boy was speaking to me. No. No. Scripture speaks to us. Solar system speaks to us. Next, he speaks to us through supplication, doesn't he? Prayer. Far too many places in Scripture to share that. We know and trust that he does. That he does what? He speaks to us when and if we pray. And lastly, he speaks and talks to us through situations, scenarios, even songs. I said the other day when I was in the prayer room, and she does it often. Well, she'll probably never know. Maybe I'll mention it to her when she gets older. If she starts wobbling on the axle, Michaela, not that you are. I'm just saying, you know, if you pastor long enough, you can remind people. I can remind Noah that he used to run from me like I was a mass murderer in the nursery. I mean, I couldn't go by the nursery window, couldn't he? I don't know what it was. I mean, look at me. I'm not scary. Some of y'all, I don't know about that. And now we're like Pizzos, aren't we, man? He didn't agree with that. Okay. Elizabeth comes in the prayer room, and man, it's like God himself greeting me, excited to see me. He speaks to us through situations, through scenarios. And you know what he can do sometimes, and that's why we should have a worship service? He can speak to us through songs. He will hold you fast. Can I say, if you'll listen to people and watch people, they can tell you a lot of things. I'm becoming a better listener in my older years, or at least I'm trying to. And I honestly try to hear from him amid all the chaos. You know why so many lose their way? They quit looking for him. How many people could we have in church this morning that have just quit looking for him? I can find him on YouTube. Can you? I can find him here. I can find him there. No, you're picking and choosing when you find him. And you'll really search for him when you're in trouble. Why wait for trouble? God's not a spare tire that's in the trunk waiting for you to pull him out when you have a flat tire. He's an ever-present help. All the time, not just in a time of need. When you get to a place you quit looking for him, can I tell you what will happen? You won't find him. Many come to mind, but one stands out on the contrary to that. John in prison. I could spend all morning showing people that quit looking for him and they couldn't find him. John's the other aspect of that. It's not wrong to question. It's wrong to get to a place where you believe you can't see him. John, the Bible says, there was no greater man born of a woman than John the Baptist. But yet, in his darkest, most discouraging moment, after baptizing the Lord Jesus Christ, after proclaiming, here he is, the Lamb, here he is, behold, the Lamb of God. Next thing you know, he's captivated in prison. The world can get us so discouraged, and he's sitting there and he says, sends his disciples out, ask him, is it he that we look for, or should we be looking for someone else? And then Jesus says to his disciples, go tell John, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see. Right. And then what's John do after that? He makes sure you get a good stroke, and he lays his head on a platter. Willingly. You don't see nothing in there where John's fighting and kicking and scratching. He willingly gives up his life. And then we complain sometimes when it gets cold outside. And so this week again was one of those that I've been trying to stress lately. And many times where my Sunday morning messages are born, the word or phrase that was stated during that finance podcast, it was just a simple word. It was the word great. And they simply stated that there are some, and I agree, there's some great things in Scripture in regard to finance. And there are. I am amazed at all the things that I am finding and all the references and, I mean, just simple teachings in the Bible about life in general. Not necessarily the wallet. He uses the terminology of finance and silver and all those things. For the wages of sin is... My sin is a wage that has to be paid for. Jesus said, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that. Praise the Lord. And so I begin, though, after he used that verse of Scripture in regard to finance, I then looked up the word great. You know, you're always looking for sermon thoughts. And I said, man, there's a lot of great things in the Bible. Maybe I can get a message on some great things, you know. And so I started looking up that word great. Interestingly enough, no pun intended, you'll find some great things. I mean, there's a lot of great things in there. You just got to look up the word great. I mean, they're just great. He's great. There's nobody like him. Amid the many great things I did find, I found, can I say three? Specifically, and they're actually even outlined, not mine, but in many when I was studying this week, they're outlined. They use the word great at the title or the heading of a paragraph. Let's see if we can find them. There's many great things that I did find. I found three great things I think that it is imperative this morning that we all should consider. And when you do, it changes. Let me say this, and I'm not trying to fluff this up. When you find these great things, you see them for yourself in Scripture. It changes everything. Or it should change everything about our Christian life. When you open up the Bible, it should change things. If you walk away from Scripture or coming to the sanctuary or serving in some capacity, you can walk away less instead of more, then you're looking at the wrong thing. You should walk out of here. I don't care if it's a tough message or not. It's tough. Peter said, whew, this is a tough saying, Lord. Who can receive it? There's just some tough things sometimes. Why? Because we look at the capacity to fulfill those things that are said to us in our flesh, and we can't do it. We need, God knows when he put these things in here, we cannot accomplish that, Brother Andrew, on our own. Brother Mark, we have to ask him. That's why Paul said to the church at Philippi, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You and I, without him, can do nothing. You might think you're accomplishing something. You might try and convince a handful of people around you that you're convincing nothing. But when it's weighed in the balances of God's scales, it's nothing. Because Jesus said, I believe it was, or at least one of the disciples said, without me, no, it was Jesus said, ye are. All of us would get a bit of it. It'd be good to put that on a verse of Scripture right on the mirror. Take your wife's lipstick and just write that on the mirror in the bathroom one time. Without me, ye are nothing. That'd be a good wake-up call every day. All right, today's going to be a good day. I can see this already. The amens just keep. And so, and when we do, it changes everything or should change everything about our Christian life. Now, that's a big statement. But I believe I can back it up. Andrew, short intro. With that being said, I want to preach on this thought. You like that? I'm thinking of you today. With that being said, I want to preach on this thought. Three three great things that we all should consider. There's not a person under the sound of my voice this morning. There, you know, I can preach a Mother's Day message and it won't apply to everybody because you're not a mother. You can learn something from it. This one here, these three things that we're to consider, each one of us are to consider them. So what's that mean? It means la-di-da-di, everybody. Before I share the first one, can I challenge you? Maybe not with this word this morning, but when you hear a word in your day-to-day travels, go search that word out in Scripture and see what you can find there before you settle on what society uses it for. Success is a perfect one. It's only mentioned once in the Scriptures. And I say that in light of this week. I have friends from every walk of life, different continents and everything. But it is amazing to me, just looking through the sphere of a meeting in the Oval Office this week, how many people can come at it from so many different angles. And I'm sitting here going, and here's what I said, Brother Andrew. I've held clearances in three different occupations, clearances. And I was sitting there saying to myself, and been a pastor. And a lot of times, if you're not careful, can I just say this? You and I don't have all the goods on everything. So if somebody does something, you can't sit back, and podcasts are being, there's young people today who think I'm going to make a living as a podcaster. I'm just going to get on there. You know what I say to that? A fool uttereth all his mind. And most of the stuff you get on there, and it is amazing to me. And I look at some of these people and I'm going, man, that's a good person right there. But here's the thing about it. In that, you don't have all the facts. You don't have all the figures. I mean, look at how many people should be giving people apologies today for COVID-19. How many people have just literally berated people as conspiracists only to find out it was all true? And so you can't sit there and make a judgment call unless you know all the facts. So you know what it's good to do sometimes? And I said this, and I almost posted it this week to all my friends. Study to be quiet and to work with thine own hands. Sometimes it's just better to be quiet. It'll all come out in the wash. And if it doesn't, it'll all come out at the judgment seats, either the great white throne or the judgment seat of Christ. That was all free. It was all free. But I said that to say this. Take a word and find that word in Scripture. And find out what that word teaches in Scripture instead of worrying about people that will say today with this, the hot topic of transgender, and there's 200 and some different, what's the terminology they use? Sexes? Genders. Thank you, Brother Ron. 200 and some different genders. And I'm going, whoo. So if a police officer, a forensic scientist, finds a dead body in the woods, Brother Mike, what's the conclusion going to be drawn? One or the other. And Paul warned Timothy in these last days of science, what? So-called. Science so-called. Be careful. In these last days, they'll be trusting in science so-called. You say, man, why is he going on that rant? Because we should be students of Scripture. And we shouldn't be these ones posting our opinions. And I don't think anybody's doing it in here. I hope they're not. It might show why you don't have much traffic or whether you do have traffic and who the traffic is. This is the definition of what we are, who we are, and everything we should be. And when that lawyer asked Jesus, what is the great commandment? He wasn't asking, he probably wanted to, but he was asking, he didn't realize, he was asking God, God, what's your opinion? And really all that matters is God's opinion. Three great things for each of us to consider. The first great I want us to consider this morning takes place in our text. I'll read it again. After a question is asked, Matthew 22, verse 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love that. Now here's his answer. And we know his answers are always true, right? So here's the first great thing for us to consider. thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Preacher, what's the first great thing you want me to consider? The great commandment. What's the great commandment? If there's one thing each one of us, either under the sound of my voice here or anywhere else that would be listening, the first great thing we're to consider is the great commandment. And what's the great commandment? For us to love God. The greatest thing you can ever, the greatest journey, the greatest person, the greatest thing ever in existence that we are to be adhered to and obey that command is to love God. Do you know why I wandered in sin for 27 years? Because I didn't see the great thing. I didn't consider the great thing. The great thing was for me to love God. I was missing it. You know why I was missing it? Because the world was dark. It was discouraging. It was disappointing. How many times when we see world tragedies take place, what's the first thing that sometimes religious people even say? Where was God? Well, I don't sit at his desk. I don't know what he's doing. I sit around with all the things that have transpired in the last few months for my life. I sit there. I take an examination. I say, God, what do you want me to see here? You're wanting me to see you. You're wanting me to love you. There is nothing that takes place. And, well, I was brought up in a really bad home, and I didn't get to see God, and therefore I can just live the rest of my life and ruin everybody else's around me because I didn't get to see God. No, that's not the case. Because you don't realize what he's doing in that situation. I don't know what he's doing sometimes. I don't know. You know, I know she's 98 years old when she passed away. But what is to take place today at a funeral? What better place to see God than at a funeral? I know and I believe that Bill Nicholas has a testimony of salvation. I know and I believe, I don't know, but I believe and I've seen and it's demonstrated. Billy has a testimony of salvation. But who else is going there today? Who else is going there? And what do they need to see? God's love. We're commanded to see what? The first great thing to consider is the great commandment. Where do I even begin? This great thing alone could and should turn into a series. I'm afraid that far too many folks today believe they are doing God some kind of service just by attending church or even calling themselves a Christian. I'm a Christian. What does that mean? If I can't see you obeying the great commandment of loving God, then I didn't see nothing and you weren't obeying nothing. You were doing it on your terms. Can I just say this and take it for what it's worth and how it's intended? God doesn't need your love. He doesn't need my love. But every one of us needs his love. And in that, and all that encompasses it, or was it, and in that, and all that encompasses, is it or was it wrong for him to express and explain to them that day and us through Scripture that the greatest thing that you and I could ever do and comprehend is that we are to and should love God? If you go through this whole life without ever loving God and experiencing giving, we love to get love. But man, it's tough for us to love. And God meets us at that junction of love me and see what it entails. See what you get. I never would have thought that. If somebody would have told me this great commandment to consider, I would have embarked into a journey to at least try it. I tried everything else. And in the trying, David said, oh, taste and see. Who do you think he's talking to there? Oh, taste and see. The Lord is good. And you know why most folks can't taste him? Because we're not salty enough. I grew up at Kim Oy Inn. My mom owned a bar. And I was a bar back and sat in the basement sucking foam out of beer bottles. And you know what they did to help people drink more? They put salt, chips, or pretzels, or popcorn on the counter. You know what that does? It's a marketing strategy. That's the best way to put it, brother buddy. That's more pastoral. It's a marketing strategy. What? To make you thirsty. Why? So you'll drink more. Do you know why a lot of people don't love God? is because we're not salty enough to get them to desire to love God. Your life ought to be salty. They ought to see something in you, and it ought to make them desire to have the love that you have. Why is it that mom and dad should love each other in such a way around their children that when their children come up, they see that love that is demonstrated in the home, and they sit there and say, I want that. Ryan, I don't know what your home looks like. Dad's over there, got his arm around her. I don't know if he just does that for church or what. That's between you and me. I believe they love each other, and they get a demonstration of it from there. And you know what it ought to do? I know we all have arguments. We all have fights, and we all let her win. Jake, what were you going to say? I thought you said amen there. But you ought to see something. You ought to see a love there. Some of the reason that some people can't consider the first great commandment is they haven't seen it in us. We are the ones that change it. When you go to work tomorrow, when you go to the hospital tomorrow, when you go wherever you go, do whatever you're supposed to do, you fulfill it. The greatest, he was telling that lawyer, hey, listen, I know you've litigated a lot of cases. I know you've been this guy. You might be the defense lawyer, whatever it is, you're a lawyer over. But I'm going to tell you what the greatest thing in your life that you could do is to love God. And then who knows if he's a lawyer, don't we have a lawyer as well? We have an advocate. A lawyer can, you know, most people say about lawyers, they're all liars. How about some lawyers that were an advocate like the Lord Jesus Christ? The great commandment. It is the very essence from which everything else flows. This is why this world is in such a mess. We do not love God. We don't consider the great commandment. What this lawyer was asking Jesus is what we must ask ourselves. What's the greatest commandment of our relationship with God? What's the most important? Our very existence begins and ends with Him. Nothing else that is good can come from our life until we love God with all of our life. He broke it down into three areas. Let me give them to you real quick. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That is cardia, where we get cardia. It's a medical term or whatever. It speaks of the heart, the very essence. It pumps all life through us. I'll share what Clark's commentary stated of these. He stated it much better than I could. He loves God with all his heart, who loves nothing in comparison of him, and nothing but in reference to him, who is ready to give up, do, or suffer anything in order to please and to glorify him, who has in his heart neither love nor hatred, hope nor fear, inclination nor aversion, desire nor delight, but as they relate to God and are therefore regulated by him. That's a lot to swallow right there. Is that your heart today? Is that your heart? I tell you what, some people can't get through a church service before their heart wanders. Secondly, the great commandment was to love God with all your heart. Secondly, with all your soul. The essence of the Greek word here used here refers to the breath, the life of that person. Clark stated he loves God with all his soul, or rather with all his life, who is ready to give up life for his sake, to endure all sorts of torments, and to be deprived of all kinds of comforts rather than to dishonor God, who employs life with all its comforts and conveniences to glorify God in, by, and through all, to whom life and death are nothing but as they come from and lead to God. From this divine principle sprang the blood of the martyrs, which became the seed of the church. They overcame through the blood of the Lamb and loved not their lives unto the death. You know where Christianity really took place and it really started to take off? Was in the Colosseums. Now you know what takes place in the Colosseums? Nothing but lasciviousness. In there, the Romans brought Christians and persecuted them and fed them to the lions. And in those moments, they testified of fulfilling the great commandment of loving God with all their soul, their very life. Where's that nowadays? And I say that to myself as much as anybody else. We can't get people to come back to church, let alone offer themselves up as a martyr for the cause of Christ. And the testimony of, you know those Catholic churches overseas and they have those cages hanging outside of them? You ever seen those? They'll try and hide them, but there's cages. You know who was in those cages? Martyrs for the cause of Christ. And the people in that community would see them not give up their life, not give up their soul, because they fulfilled the great command, and that was to love God with their heart and with their soul, their very life. Hey, if you just recant, we'll let you go. No, I got to consider that great commandment. The American church knows nothing of that. Number three. The great thing to consider was a great commandment. Love God with your heart, your soul. And then Clark says this of the mind. He loves God with all his mind, his intellect, who applies himself only to know God and his holy will, who receives with submission, gratitude, and pleasure the sacred truths which God has revealed to man, who studies no art nor science, but as far as it is necessary for the service of God, and uses it at all times to promote his glory, who forms no projects nor designs, but in reference to God and the interests of mankind, who banishes from his understanding and memory every useless, foolish, and dangerous thought, together with every idea which has any tendency to defile his soul or to turn it for a moment from the center of an eternal repose. In a word, he who sees God in all things thinks of him at all times, having his mind continually fixed upon God, acknowledging him in all his ways, who begins, continues, and ends all his thoughts, words, and works to the glory of his name. Now you can see where Jude was talking when he said, keep. You will walk out of these doors, and even in these doors sometimes there can be distractions. And those distractions will do everything to pull you away. I've watched it during invitations. I've watched it during the heat of a moment, of a point. And Michaela, if you're not careful, and I appreciate the young people that sit up here, I can sit in church sometimes and hear something and watch something and catch something. And next thing you know, guess what takes place? The allurement of everything out there to keep me there. To keep me there, Michaela, that I'll stay there and fulfill that great commandment that I love God. I think sometimes we need to see some martyrs and where their eyes were fixed upon. Stephen comes to mind. Bible says his face, what? Shone like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he was considering and fulfilling the great commandment. He loved God even unto death. I wonder sometimes if somebody came in here, if we got to a police state. We've been close. I was driving into church today, and I drove by Joanne Fabrics. I remember when I went to Joanne Fabrics during the COVID fiasco to get some fabric to make a blanket for one of my grandkids being born. And my mask slipped down off my face while I was talking on the phone, and they literally ran me out of that store. Now they're all going bankrupt. All going bankrupt for a stupid little mask. You think something's going to prevent you from a stupid little mask? And that's the pandemonium. That's just a virus. Can you imagine if we turn into a police state? Can you imagine if we get to a place like Russia or China or any one of those places, Brother Baldwin? Look around. Look around. Do you think you could take that? There were some people, I don't even know if I want to go to church with all this taking place right now. That was a stupid little self-imposed little plandemic that took place. I'm not preaching to anybody else in here but myself. When you're looking down the snout of a barrel, Brother Mike, confess him or deny him. We don't love God. We put on a show. And you know what's taking place? The rest of America, the rest of the world's watching us. And seeing whether your businesses are watching you. The people you are around are watching you. My neighbors are watching me, whether I pull out of the parking lot this morning and go to church or not. I'll add the last one, because Christ did. He loves God with all his strength. That is, who exerts all the powers of his body and soul in the service of God. Who for the glory of his maker spares neither labor nor cost, who sacrifices his time, his body, his health, his ease for the honor of God, his divine master, who employs in his service all his goods, his talents, his power, his credit, authority, and influence. I didn't feel good this morning. I get it. I understand it. But when it becomes a pattern for your life, when it becomes a pattern that you stubbed your toe, it was just a little too breezy, it was just a little too windy, you know what's happened? You've not fully considered the great commandment. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Let me ask you this and we'll move on. Why say he is a great God, and he is? Or we say he is a great God, and he is. But can we say we love God with our heart, with our soul, with our mind and strength as he would have us to? Or are we even trying? And let me add this. How good or bad you and I love God will be seen by those who know not God. Next is found directly right after verse 22, or verse 39 and 40. We see the great commandment. What's the next thing we're to consider? The great compassion. What's the great compassion? The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The word compassion is found 41 times in Scripture, but it is wrapped throughout the whole of Scripture. In my personal opinion, it is one of, if not the greatest attribute of God. Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3 and verse 21, this I recall to my mind, Jeremiah, who suffered in extreme persecution, never saw anybody come to Christ, wanted to give up at times, but he said, there's just a fire that keeps burning inside of me because of fulfilling the great commandment. And that commandment was the first four of the Ten Commandments, loving God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Here's what he said in Lamentations. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, Jeremiah said, saith my soul. The very breath of his life, he's speaking. Therefore will I have hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. God is compassionate throughout Scripture. He demonstrates that compassion. Paul said in Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. What? Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain what? Mercy. And find grace to help in a time of need. Jude said it like this in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So he was fulfilling the first great, which was the great commandment. Now Jude compels us to fulfill the second great, which is the great compassion. He said, and if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Noah Webster defines compassion as this: a suffering with another, painful sympathy, a sensation of sorrow excited by the distress or misfortunes of another, pity, commiseration. Compassion is a mixed passion, compounded of love and sorrow. At least some portion of love generally attends the pain or regret, or is excited by it. Extreme distress of an enemy even changes enmity into at least temporary affection. Can I tell you what the church today is? It is as uncompassionate as I've ever seen in my entire life. It is. Your compassion for somebody else ought to be in direct proportion of your understanding and visible awareness of his compassion to you. I watch people that almost stand at the door of compassion, and you have to meet my standard for it before I open the door. No, that standard was already met when he was compassionate to me. It isn't for me to say what somebody has to do. It's for him. Dead men have no feelings. I'm going to do it one day. We're going to have a funeral here, if it's even in my own family. And I am going to pull back. And I am going to whack that person in the casket as hard as I can whack them. and I'm going to drive my point home after that. What'd they say? They didn't even say, ouch. They just took it. How many times do you and I insult the very God of heaven? And then all of a sudden we just chase somebody down, never knowing anything. Again, like I said, of the meeting in the Oval Office, we don't know what took place. We weren't there. The only thing that we really know, the only people that really know that, is the ones that were in there before they even went on live TV, before the clearances. I mean, there's things that you don't get to know unless you get a clearance. Everybody's all up in arms about the Epstein list. You don't have the clearance. You don't know what's there. You don't know when you're in leadership, Brother Mike. How many, as a captain, as a lieutenant, as a general, you don't know. You're just taking that information. And here's the thing. I see it so much in church, it nauseates me. We ought to, the turn the left cheek to the right cheek, that's an expression of this, of compassion. How compassionate are you? Can somebody look at you and go, wow, I can't believe. The one that gets me every time is that police officer that shot that man, went in the wrong room. It's not even a comparison. I've watched so many legal cases where a mother sits there and forgives somebody. If something happened to one of my kids, grandkids, sure, there's a part of my flesh, but there's also got to be a part of my understanding. What brought them to that day? What brought me to the day, 27 years old, that nobody else did it but Rodney? I was an absolute loose cannon. I even said things to him. And you know what he did? He considered the great compassion. Mike's never going to get to God if I don't demonstrate my love that you've given me to him. Some of us, we hold it back until the person ticks all the boxes. Be a pastor for a while. There's not a week I walk out of here, somebody don't say something stupid to me. And I sit there and I go, I'm going to write it down in a book, and I'm going to wait to say something stupid to them. Can you imagine if God did that to us? The great commandment, the great commission, or the great compassion. Can that be said of you this morning? I'll say this, the depth of your love for God will be in direct proportion of your compassion for others. Your compassion may very well be the thing that breaks their back. And I say that in a way where they come to God. I was tired of listening to Rodney tell me, God loves me. I was tired of it, but it was that broke me finally and said, he really does. Lastly, this, and I'm done. First thing to consider is the great commandment. Are you loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? The second is the great compassion. How compassionate are you? I mean, really, how compassionate are you? If we were to take a poll in this church, secret, from you, but we interviewed everybody about you, how much would they say, oh, man, oh, they're so compassionate. I've just never seen a compassion like their compassion. And here's the last one. Matthew 28, you fast forward verses 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Verse 2 of that chapter, we have a great earthquake. Verse 8 of that chapter, we have what? Great joy, and rightly so. Rightly so, why? Because up from the grave he arose. It ought to cause great joy. There ought to be great joy when we sing resurrection songs in here. Amen. Jesus passes the torch, if you will, of the next great thing he desires of us, and that is the Great Commission. And it is not just for a select few that are called somewhere, and he wears a tie that matches her dress, and the children all wear the same color. It is to each and every one of us. And it will begin with how deep our great command is obeyed, that will extend to our great compassion, which will end up fulfilling the Great Commission. And so let me ask you this, and I'll close. Should missions be dropping in our church? If I'm a financier financial person in the church, and I'm trying to gauge what's happening here. What's going on? Whether it be in the business, the profit margins are down, businesses, they look into why are they down? Why are the profit margins down for our business right now this quarter? What's taking place? Why is it the closer we get to the missions conference, the more the missions drop? I'll tell you why. Because you can't get to the Great Commission till you fulfill the Great Commandment. What's the Great Commandment? Loving God. Every time I hear Japan, all I remember is Brother Hill come in and showing little kids pulling a red cord in a Shinto temple. You know what that means? We don't have a missionary to Japan. There's so many places we can have missionaries. You know why we can't? Because you got to love God. You got to fulfill the Great Commandment. You got to love Him. If you'll love Him, you'll do what? You'll have great compassion. You mean to tell me if Brother Mike and Miss Sherry leave the church that we don't have a compassion for a bus ministry anymore? It's supposed to be the pastor. No, nobody really cares about those kids anymore. Love your neighbor as yourself. We make sure everything about us is taken care of. What about somebody else? And Miss Emily and Brother Mike, and I know you do it. You got a respite today. But if you're not careful with that even, it'll turn into Martha over Mary. Hey, hey, hey! Jesus, help! Get Mary to help us cook this meal. And she was so far. No, Mary's done what's the best. It's a love. See, that fulfilling that great commandment will get you to love God. And when you love God, guess what you'll love? You'll love what God loves. And all of a sudden, that person on the street corner that don't walk right, talk right, spit right like you do, you'll have a whole lot more compassion for them. And then it'll fast forward to a great commission. Jesus walked with them for 3.5 years so they could see what he saw. They could hear what he would say so that it could compel them. It could twist. What was it that changed Saul to Paul? He held the coat and saw the fulfilling of the great commandment, Stephen loving God, fulfilling the great compassion, loving his nation. Stephen died because of his love for his nation. And they stoned him to death. And then you know what it did? It set Paul on fire to fulfill a great commission. After a message like this, it should be standing room only for the nursing home. Standing room only. Pastor, how can we get that bus running again? But where's those kids? Where's the kids that we could get? You know why it'll never happen? Because you didn't consider the first. You definitely didn't fulfill the second. And Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look under the fields, for they're white already unto harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. You'll not love somebody else until you see how much you love God. Father, we'd ask you to help us today. It's a tough message. It's a tough message I needed to hear. I'm thankful that you spoke to me in a podcast on finances. God, help us love you. In a day when our love and affection and emotion is drawn to so many different things, help us to focus on you. Help us to focus on that you're altogether lovely. Help us to be a whole lot more compassionate to people that we don't think sometimes deserve our compassion. We need to realize we didn't deserve it from you either. And Lord, set our hearts on fire to take that and share it with somebody else. Speak to us as only you can this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.